turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 30. Psalm 30, and if you will stand with me to the reading of God's word, if you were able to do so at this time. And I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Psalm 30. Psalm of David. It says, I praise you, Lord, because you have saved me and kept my enemies from gloating over me. I cried to you for help, O Lord, my God, and you healed me. You kept me from the grave. I was on my way to the depths below, but you restored my life. Sing praise to the Lord, all his faithful people. Remember what the Holy One has done and give him thanks. His anger lasts only for a moment, his goodness for a lifetime. Tears may flow at night, but joy comes in the morning. I felt secure and said to myself, I will never be defeated. You were good to me, Lord. You protected me like a mountain fortress. But then you hid yourself from me, and I was afraid. I called to you, Lord. I begged for your help. What will you gain from my death? What profit from my going to the grave? Are dead people able to praise you? Can they proclaim your unfailing goodness? Hear me, Lord, and be merciful. Help me, Lord. You have changed my sadness into a joyful dance. You have taken away my sorrow and surrounded me with joy. So I will not be silent. I will sing praise to you. I will give you thanks forever. Thus ends the reading of Psalm 30. You may be seated at the reading of God's holy word. If you will allow me for a moment to just capture your attention with this subject, from hurt to hallelujah. From hurt to hallelujah. Let us bow and let us pray just now. Gracious and eternal God, we say thank you. Thank you, God, for the opportunity, Lord, to stand behind this sacred desk one more time. And God, thank you for allowing us to have the doors of Mosby Memorial Baptist Church open on this Sunday. God, we take not for granted what you are doing in this place. Now, God, we fall before your presence asking that you, Lord, would hear our cries, God, that you would heal our hurt, speak to our pain, God. And lift us up, God, that we might say hallelujah to you. God, we thank you for all that you have done and all that you continue to do in our lives. God, my prayer, Lord, right now is, Lord, as you allow me, Lord, your servant, to stand in the shoes of John to proclaim your word, I pray, Lord, that your word would fall on fertile ground and that word would take deep root in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls, and then sprout up to be the beautiful flower that you so desire. God, we thank you. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, and all of the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. From hurt to hallelujah. The book of Psalms provide to us a peek behind the curtain of those individual lives like David, Asaph, the sons of Korah, Solomon, Haman, Ethan, and Moses, who have experienced the full spectrum of emotions from hurt to anger and from celebration to joy. This collection of songs and prayers expresses the heart and soul of humanity. We see right here where David and the other writers honestly poured out their true feelings, reflecting the dynamic, powerful, and life-changing friendship with God Almighty. Think about that statement. Friendship with God. The outcome of my toil and my pain is friendship with God. How can this be? Seeing that I am a sinner and I have committed such gross injustices against myself and humanity. I've done wrong. We've done wrong. But yet the God who created me and formed me wants to have a relationship with me. He wants to call me friend. But that's just what the Psalms do. That's just what he does in this book right here in Psalm 30. God is all powerful, and he always acts right on time. He is sovereign over every situation. God's power is shown by the ways he reveals himself in creation, the world, and in history. When we display the worst of who we are, God peels back the layers to see the best of who we can be. And that's good news for somebody today. That's good news for somebody today. When you look at David, he had done some scandalous stuff. The stories of his life are better than the shows that you watch on TV, better than Scandal, better than Empire, better than How to Get Away with Murder, better than Days of Our Lives, better than As the World Turns. But yet God saw him as someone after his own heart. That's how he saw David. David was a murderer and an adulterer. David had Bathsheba's husband killed after he saw her bathing on the rooftop and she was looking fine. So he could sleep with her and have her for himself. Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, was a loyal soldier in the army of David and did everything that he was told. Uriah was doing his job, protecting the ark, keeping the faith to his country, all while David was having his way with his wife. This is David. The David that we love, the David that danced. You don't hear a whole lot about this David. But it's true, it's in the Bible. Just go back to 2 Samuel and chapter 12 and read all of what David had done. It's in the Bible. David's life was full of controversy, but these Psalms we read all the time become our battle axes and our places of comfort. After being pursued to be killed by Saul, David declares in Psalm 59, God is my fortress, but I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, O God, my refuge in times of trouble. When we hide and when he hid in the cave from Adullam, David declares in Psalm 142, God is my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. When the Ziphites tried to betray him, David says in Psalm 54, surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. God blesses David all throughout the Psalms, and Psalms are written as songs and prayers to a God who hears all of what is going on in our lives. In spite of our scandalous nature, God yet blesses us, moves within us, loves us where we are. That's good news for somebody today. The psalm here before us today begins by letting us know that David has been brought up and out of something. That something was his own sin and his own shortcomings. And we know this because David begins by praising the Lord for saving him and keeping his enemies from overcoming him. Now that the mere fact of him being saved indicates to us that before the saving, there must have been some reason that the salvation occurred in the first place. It is possible here, and some scholars would argue that David's security and might made him feel invincible. Although he knew that his riches and power came from God, all of what he had, it had gone to his head. We know that God offers salvation, yes, but first we must come to understand and recognize that there is salvation to be offered in the first place, and knowing where it comes from is our number one priority. You need to understand that when you find yourself, even before you find yourself in a scandalous situation, that God is there
believe that he recognized that his salvation was strongly tied to him being brought up and out of his own situation. David is not crying out to anyone else, but he's crying out to the Lord. Allow me to just stop on the side of the road for a moment and make this plain. For many of us, we don't recognize the need of salvation until there's some type of form of depletion or need within us. In other words, God becomes our last resort when times get rough. We look to God when it's all over and done, instead of looking to God in the first place when we fall to our knees in the morning time, thanking God for blessing us. God needs to be the first thing on your mind. You need to give him praise when you get up in the morning, when you recognize that God woke you up, blessed you, food on your table, clothes on your back. I know it's cliche, but when you really think about it, all throughout the night, God kept you, God blessed you, God gave you just what you need when you need it.
A depletion or need. It could be in the relationship with ones of love. It could be in the ministries that we face here in Mosby. A depletion or need could be in the quality of life that we're living. A depletion or need in some area of our life that requires some type of fix or repair. There's something missing. There's something that we are staying in need of. There's something that we need to have in our lives that completes us and makes us whole. And what I'm trying to say, all I'm trying to say to you, is that you need to look to the Lord first instead of looking to the Lord last. And Mosby, don't get me wrong, I know that God is more than able to save those that won't even fix their lips to utter any godly speech. But the reason I pulled over is because many of us just want a candy shop, God, where we can go to and go in at any time, peer through the glass, look at all the wonderful colors, and pick and choose what we want and how we want it. God is not a Burger King, God. God is a God that woke you up. We don't need and we don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to have to go through anything. God brought me up and out, so I don't want to have to go through anything. But God said that there's going to be some trouble in your way. And so when you find that there's going to be some trouble in the nighttime, Virginia, there's going to be a moment where you come to your morning and recognize that joy is here. We don't want any kind of problems. We don't want any type of bump in our road. We don't want to learn anything from our depletion or need or wrongdoing. We don't want to have to go through anything. We just walk in and get a fix. Come back next Sunday and get a fix. But to understand God like this, we are fooling ourselves, and we won't ever get to where God wants us to go. Oh, I don't want any one of you to get satisfied with where God has you in life. I know you may be in a good situation, but I want you to recognize that God has so much more for you. I want you to understand that there are going to be some times in your life where your security might become unsecured, and when it gets to that point, there must be a solid rock that we can go to and hold on to and wrap our arms around and say, God, I'm holding on for dear life. The God you serve in your life ought to be the precursor and not the afterthought. Now David is thanking God for his salvation because at one time he was in a hurtful condition. That's right, Chase, give me some praise. Now there are different kinds of hurts. There are different kinds of hurts, and the hurt that David experienced was a heart-wrenching, soul-aching, miserable type of hurt that puts you in a place of despair and positions you in the face of death. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? In a situation where you felt like dying, you felt like giving up. And let's be clear about this hurt that David was experiencing. This wasn't a physical hurt, but rather it was
was a hurt that made his heart and soul ache. From his very core, he was miserable.
Yes.
This was that type of hurt that bothers David, or bothers you, or bothers me to no end. This is the type of hurt that makes you wonder if life is even going to get better for me. Your best friend in the world can't even make it better. I think y'all know what I'm talking about. Mama can't fix it. Daddy can't fix it. Big Mama down the road can't fix it. Uncle Junebug can't fix it. Pastor Davis can't fix it. Huh? Deacons can't fix it. Ministers can't fix it. They can't even sing this one away. This is that kind of hurt. Each and every morning you wake up, there's a pit in the bottom of your stomach and you're wondering when it's going to end. You don't know how to get rid of it, but no one really knows how you feel. But you, huh? Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? It is a hurt that enters every part and fastens in every crevice and corner of your life. There's not a minute that goes by that the pain does not enter into your mind. There's not an hour that passes where you're not reminded that something is holding you back, holding you down. There's not a day that closes without the awful feeling that there is a stronghold in your life. If I could give an example of how this hurt might look, it may look like the story years ago of the West Virginian woman locked in her shed for a week, made to eat her own feces, tied up like a dog, battered and bruised at the hands of sick and twisted individuals. Hurt is an equal opportunity employer. Hurt comes to all of us, not just black folks. Hurt comes to white folks too. Hurt comes in the morning. Hurt comes in the noonday. Hurt comes when you least expect it. Maybe you've experienced it, maybe you are not, maybe not, but nonetheless, it's there. It could be something that has happened in your past or something that just happened yesterday. It doesn't make any sense, and there's no rhyme or reason as to why we have to go through what we go through. All we know, all I know is that I hurt. It's not your ordinary hurt, not a superficial bump or a little fall, but this is a real soul aching hurt. This is the gut-wrenching hurt that cannot be taken away by just anyone. I give these mental images so that you might understand the heartache and the heartache that David might have felt when he was writing this song. It is neither pleasant nor pretty, but it is necessary. See, in this song, David lets us know that he is thankful to God for bringing him up and out. Not just out of the situation, but up and out of a situation to stand on his own two feet. He was able to stand by himself. Oh, from this perspective now, I understand what it means to be kept by God. I should have been dead a long time ago, but God touched me. And this may sound strange to some and odd to others, but very real, in a sense, in saying that when you're in a hurtful condition, the only one that can fix your situation is the one that can see through all of the hellation and bring back restoration. No, you don't hear me. He takes you through the hellation, understands where you're at, and brings you back up and out and gives you restoration. You know who he is. Some of you know him as El Elyon, the Most High God. Some of you know him as El Roy, the Lord that seeth. Some of you know him as El Olam, the God of eternity. Some of you know him as El Shaddai, the Almighty and All-Sufficient God. He is Jehovah, the Eternal, the Ever-Loving One. How many of you know him as Jehovah Jireh? The Lord will provide. Some know him as Jehovah Rapha, the great physician. He met you in your hospital room, blessed you, delivered you, gave you just what you need, gave you a pep talk, put you on your feet, and sent you on your way. Let me tell you something. until you drop to your knees, until you drop to your knees and call on God, your creator, for yourself and see for yourself, there won't be angel. I'm just saying. There won't be any joy. There won't be any peace. There won't be any understanding. There won't be any clarity. And there definitely won't be no salvation. God doesn't want you to call on anyone but Him. He's the one. When you're in trouble, don't call 911. Call God. When you're not sure which way to call, go, don't call AAA. Don't do a Google Maps search. Call on Him. He'll give you the best directions that you ever need. When your husband or wife ain't acting right, don't call the lawyer, call the Lord. When your children ain't acting right, talk to the Lord. Lay Him on the altar. In everything that you do, every place that you step, everything that you say, you must learn to call on God. The text says that David cried to the Lord for help, and God heard his cry and healed him. Now look carefully at the text. Before God helped David and healed David, God heard David. When David cried to the Lord, that was God hearing him. That was God's time to listen. Look, when you cry to God, that's something. God will take time out of whatever He's doing and hear you right where you are and give you right what you need. Come on now. When you make a conscious decision to cry out to the Lord, He will hear you. Come on, what does the text say? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's what the Word of God says. The worst thing that you can experience when going through a hurtful situation is when people won't give you the time of day to even listen to what you're going through. See, when you're going through it, it doesn't help when the ones that you go to are not even present to even listen to what you're going through. That's what they did to Job. I thought you were a Christian. That's what they say to us. I thought Almighty God. I thought you were so saved, holy, and sanctified. I thought you knew God. Maybe, and then they'll say something like, maybe you don't have enough faith. God hears you, takes time to listen to you, gives you what you need. And when other people around are looking at you trying to figure out what kind of faith you have, you don't worry about them. You kick them to the curb and you say, I'm going to my God. I know my God hears me. Or otherwise, you kick them to the curb and go find some friends that are going to be able to listen to you when you need it. See, these people don't listen. They don't care. They probably don't give two hoots about you. Or what you're going through. But I just stopped by today to let you know that when no one else listens to your cry, God is right there in the cut, ready and waiting to help you out. Like the others, he didn't leave you nor forsake you. When you were at your lowest point, God stepped in and showed out. When we provide counsel to someone, when you are in that listening position, you must incline your ear to them. That's what God teaches us, to be in position to help listen to other folks. You must position yourself and truly listen to their needs. In other words, while you listen, don't anticipate what you think you should say or give them what you think they need. 9 times out of 10, the person hurting just needs to know that someone loves and cares for them enough to sit and listen to what they're going through. Come on, y'all, we've all been there. Somebody listening to you, and all the while they're trying to formulate in their mind what they're going to say to you. They think they have all the answers for you, but I would encourage you to stay away from those folks. Person hurting just needs to know that someone loves and cares enough to listen. And if you can't handle it, then send them to somebody that you know can and will.
Yes.
It's okay to say, you know what? I don't know if I can give you what you need. Better yet, to send them anyway. Maybe what they need is just the presence, maybe of sometimes some silence, to say, okay, God, I feel you in this room, I feel you in this moment, and even though they're not saying anything, I know that they're intently, desirously, and involved in what I am going through.
All right, yeah. Come on.
I don't know. Maybe. So that's why I'm so glad that God heard my prayers.
Yes.
When it looked like I didn't have a friend in sight and my life was, God heard my cry.
Yes.
When God hears me, I not only get access to his great mind, but I get access to his heart too.
Yeah, yeah.
My God listens and understands me. He knows what I've been through and he knows where I'm going.
Yeah.
When we talk about the heart of God, we are talking about a divine being with the capacity to think, to feel, to remember, to desire, and choose a course of action for those that he loves. So if I'm in a place of hurt, there is no other presence I'd rather be in than a divine presence where he can think and feel his way through my situation and get me to where I need to be. That's good news. And I don't want to head for a place of destruction, but to a place of divine reconstruction. Thank you for hearing me, God. Do you see it? Thank you for listening to me, God. I go from being deeply hurt to being heard by God, from being heard to helped, and ultimately to be healed. David is depressed and in despair because of his presumed predicament that he faces. The text tells us that he cried out for help and God heard. When I think of that kind of help, the image, the help that we need, the image that comes to my mind is an individual that has part of the answer to the question, but has gotten stuck along the way, and as a result of getting stuck, they go to someone to seek the help that they need. See, the Webster's Unabridged Dictionary defines help in this way: to give or provide what is necessary to accomplish the task and satisfy the need. When I need help, it means that I have a part of the answer to my problems, and all I need is a boost to get me over the hump. But when I look at David's situation up close and personal, we see that he has more than a hump before him. Instead, David has a mountain front of him. You may say, preacher, how do you know that he has a mountain in front of him? The text said he asked for help. Because David was so deep in his depression and despair, he couldn't see the forest or the trees. He was too involved in the details of his own problem to look at the situation from a wider perspective.
Yes, yes.
So he wasn't able to let anybody in. He had more than a hump before him. Look, when you are in deep despair, it's difficult to know what you really need. It's kind of hard sometimes to really figure out what it is and where it is that you need to go. Now, I believe that his hurt had put him in a condition of more than just needing a little bit of help. He needed somebody that he could go beyond his help. The only thing that David knew was to cry out. See, the implication is that David had part of the answer to his situation, but in reality, he had no answer at all. But when he went to the Lord, and he fell to his knees, and put his pen to paper, and started crying out, God began to heal him where he was. God began to give him what he needed right then and there. See, what David had was a dilemma that only God can make right. And when you're in a helpless situation, you need a God that can heal your condition. The word heal in the original language in the Hebrew is rapha. Rapha is a verb which literally means to heal of hurts. God goes beyond the help. See, your helpless situation, due to whatever reason, had spiritually blinded you to how serious your condition really was. When you thought you just needed a little bit of help, God said, no. You need a healing. You need not a band-aid approach, but you need something even more that goes beyond the help, that will cause you not to come back to this place again. When you experience what you experienced, and when you get healed by the Lord, God says, I don't want you to come back this way again. I want you to move in such a way that when you are tempted, when you are triggered, you don't fall into the same trap that you fell into prior to getting to this place. God comes to heal you. See, your healing has nothing to do with you. What you need now is help beyond yourself. God does for you what you couldn't do for your own self. When God heals you, you are free. When God heals you, you are whole. When God heals you, you are all that God has called you to be. When God healed me, God delivered my soul from a burning hell. When God delivered me, when he brought me out, he took my physical pain and now I can walk again. He took my physical pain and now I can not only walk, but I can talk. And I can live and I can be who God created me to be. See, when God healed me, he took my migraine away. He took my back pain away. He took the anger away. He filled the empty place in my soul and made me whole again. With my healing, I feel like dancing all over God's head. Oh, when he healed me, I can see that my days are much brighter now. But the one thing that I am so glad about is that he turned my morning. I said he turned my morning. My MORNING. He turned my morning into dancing. He took my sackcloth off and clothed me with joy so that my soul may praise him and not be silent ever again. Mosby, that sounds like a hallelujah moment to me. Mosby, can you say hallelujah with me? Don't you know he's taking you from hurt to hallelujah? Don't you know that he has blessed you behind your wildest imaginations? Now, when you see me, don't get high, Sadidi, because I'm looking pretty. I can take credit because my God did it. Not only did he change me on the inside, but he changed me on the outside too. You see, my sackcloth was a sign to the people that I was in mourning and grieving about my situation, and those when you run to win, it's going to be all over. God says, yet I need you to hold on. Because joy is coming in the room. Joy is coming right to you.
Don't let your hurt get the best of you. Don't let the hurt make you bitter. Bitter to the point where you are no good to anyone around you. Come on now. I know what I'm talking about. I've experienced death. I go through the same thing you go through. Don't get it twisted. But when you are in a hurting situation and you've got a job to do that you know God has called you to, you got to suck it up.
Keep on living, keep on moving, keep on doing what you've been called to do.